Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Guna Kshita Matir Bhagavan Bhararayani. Adyagan Maharakyanam. Nityam Vishnu Janapriya. Srila Shukadeva Goswami, son of Srila Vyasadeva, was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration, Srimad Bhagavatam. Purport. According to Brahma Vivarta Purana, Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul even within the womb of his mother. Srila Vyasadeva knew that the child after his birth would not stay at home. Therefore, Vyasadeva impressed upon him the synopsis of the Bhagavatam so that the child could be made attached to the transcendental activities of the Lord. After his birth, the child was still more educated in the subject of the Bhagavatam by recitation of the actual poems. The idea is that generally the liberated souls are attached to the feature of impersonal Brahman with a monistic view of becoming one with the supreme whole. But by the association of pure devotees, like Vyasadeva, even a liberated soul becomes attracted to the transcendental qualities of the Lord. By the mercy of Sri Narada, Srila Vyasadeva was able to narrate the great epic of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by the mercy of Vyasadeva, Srila Shukadeva Goswami was able to grasp the import. The transcendental qualities of the Lord are so attractive that Srila Shukadeva Goswami became detached from being completely absorbed in impersonal Brahman and positively took up the personal activity of the Lord. Practically, he was thrown from the impersonal conception of the Absolute, thinking within himself that he had simply wasted so much time in devoting himself to the impersonal feature of the Supreme. In other words, he realized more transcendental bliss with the personal feature than the impersonal. And from that time, not only did he himself become very, very dear to the Vishnu Janas, or the devotees of the Lord, but also the Vishnu Janas became very dear to him. The devotees of the Lord who do not wish to kill the individuality of the living entities and who desire to become the personal servitors of the Lord do not very much like the impersonalist. And similarly, the impersonalists who desire to become one with the Supreme are unable to evaluate the devotees of the Lord. Thus, from time immemorial, these two transcendental pilgrims have sometimes been competitors. In other words, each of them likes to keep separate from the other because of the ultimate personal and impersonal realization. Therefore, it appears that Srila Shukadeva Goswami also had no liking for the devotee. But since he himself became a saturated devotee, he desired always the transcendental association of the Vishnu Janas, and the Vishnu Janas also liked his association since he became a personal Bhagavata. Thus, both the son and the father were completely cognizant of the transcendental knowledge in Brahman, and afterwards both of them became absorbed in the personal features of the Supreme Lord. The question as to how Sukadeva Goswami was attracted by the narration of the Bhagavatam is thus completely answered by this shloka. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Daksurunmulatam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadhamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Adadanasthanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Ulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Risham Piyatnai Apayam Amara Bipshamandham Kutambuhiya Paradhuka Dhuki సనాతనస్థం ప్రభుమాశ్రయామి. పంచాకల్పాతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభయేభ్యశ్చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది ఘోర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. Greetings from Sherbourne, Massachusetts. It's a little bit, maybe 40 minutes west of Boston. I'm here at the house of Janaki Ram, who's now studying for his PhD at Oxford, and I forgot his parents, I guess Mr. and Mrs. Elderman. They're very generous and kind people, and they've given us their very, very beautiful house. Just, you know, New England in the summer, it can't be nicer than that. And it's a very, very big house. I mean, we're able to comfortably accommodate. We're having a conference here, I think about 12, 15 devotees. And I think they have a 7-bedroom house, and they have a nice meeting room, and of course outside there's swimming pool and activities like that. And I think this is our 5th year. It's kind of an informal conference, but this year it's kind of grown. I initially started the conference for just young devotee scholars that I met, and I that were unknown to each other, and thought that by getting them together and having some seminar, academic seminar in relationship with the Krishna consciousness, that it would develop some camaraderie and vision. And it's actually, this is the first year that we've actually invited, if I consider myself an elder, other elders. And it's kind of a very, very, very wonderful program. And I think all the devotees that participate look forward to it very, very much. And yesterday we had two, I can just share this with you before I do the Bhagavatam. We had two very, very interesting seminars. The first was by a very distinguished scholar from Harvard, who is known to the devotees. He was also well known to Kamal Krishna Maharaj. His name is Francis Clooney, and he's a Jesuit. It's one of the orders in the Christian Church. I studied it a bit. This concept that the Catholic Church has to I guess it's a very nice thing to accommodate very dynamic people that may not exactly fit into the confines of the organization. You can broaden it itself, and they start orders for different types of people. You know, if you just want to be renunciate, maybe then there's the Trappist monks, and if you want to do this, there's the Benedictines, and they're the Jesuits. And Jesuits are particularly scholarly. And they're very, very, very well educated, and very nice. He's a vegetarian, and his specialty is Indology, especially Vaishnavism. He's a big scholar in Vaishnavism, and it was really a pleasure to be with him. He gave a seminar on academic scholarship and the service of God, which is very relevant for a lot of the devotees. Mahamuni is here, and he's studying for his PhD at the University of Austin at Texas, and he's actually doing his thesis on pramana. Pramana means evidence, epistemology, how you know something. And he's studying Indian epistemology and how it relates to rational presentation of the existence of God, something like that. But anyway, it was really wonderful. And the main thing is the person's character. He was such a Brahmin and so comfortable and a very humble person. And, you know, just explains, you know, what he does. That was really nice. And then in the afternoon, it was a really, really powerful seminar. I said, this is the first year that one of my godbrothers came. Jayadvaita Swami gave a seminar on, it's called, of course, it has a typical Jayadvaita Swami title, called Unity and Perversity, the Nature of Religious Schisms in a Sociological and Historical Perspective. And, I mean, it was uncanny, his study of history and the parallels of the strains that ISKCON is feeling and experiencing. It's just a sociological phenomenon. And there's so many points, but, you know, he pointed out things that people have to watch for. He said, for example, in Christianity, it began with devotion to Christ. And historically, what happens with a religious movement, it begins with devotion to a charismatic personality, and kind of that charisma becomes institutionalized, and then it becomes devotion to a Christian system or a church. And the dangers of that, because, I mean, it was so comprehensive, but the dangers of that, because we all know that how Krishna consciousness spread by Prabhupada's charisma, not a material charisma, but the, you know, his spiritual faith and his purity, and how that inspired so much faith in his followers that they were willing to make tremendous sacrifices for the spreading of Sri Chaitanya's mission. And there was a little discussion how, so then it becomes maintaining the church, and then the tension, which is also necessary, but the tension that arises, because very frankly, what you need to spread Krishna consciousness is what? Is faith, and faith means faith in people. And the tension there is between that, and it was just an interesting point. He described how the Roman Catholic Church is less active and less dynamic when it's situated in Catholic communities, because you become complacent. When it's situated in places where there's other religions that are stronger, then it inspires the church to service its members better. And he described about this, how sometimes competition, so-called, and he described how ISKCON at a particular time had the monopoly on Krishna consciousness in the West. And although it may remain, although now it's still probably the prime institution, there are other movements and other people, and how that can be actually a healthy thing. Because the way to deal with that is not to ostracize or criticize other institutions, but to just make sure you deliver your product more effectively. And anyway, there were just so many interesting points I can't get into, but I'll get into Bhagavatam. And then this morning we'll finish up. There'll be two seminars. Ek Chakra, who's just got into Tufts University to study ethnomusicology, the study of the history of sociology of music. He's going to discuss something about kirtan in the modern day, and it's interesting. And then finally, the last seminar today will be by a person named Ryan Preston. He comes every year, and he's just finished his PhD at NYU and in philosophy. And he specifically, his field is human rights. And he's a very, 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 very pious person. He's he visits the temple of 22nd Avenue. He also is going on tour with Radha Vallabha there to India. I don't think he's specifically a Vaishnava, although he has sentiments. I believe he's a Christian. And he's going to give a seminar on virtue ethics and Vaishnava ethics. And Mahamuni is going to be the, to discuss their relationship, and Mahamuni is going to be the respondent. So I'm looking forward to that also. And this Ryan, it just shows you, it's very nice that he has such affinity. This is the third or fourth year he's come. He's just got a tenured track professorship, just graduating at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And he got a fellowship in Harvard to study for one more year. So it's so nice that he has such favorable impressions of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers, and now he's going to be in a very influential position. So that being said, I'm not so prepared today, and the next seminar does start at 10 o'clock, but let's see how long I can go. So as we know, and I'll get into the Bhagavatam here, so the first canto is this wonderful history of the Bhagavatam. And the history of the Bhagavatam, the stories of the history of the Bhagavatam and how it's been disseminated, specifically with Vyasadeva and then to Sukadeva Goswami, to Maharaj Prithip, these key figures. You know that Vyasadeva, also the story of Narada Muni, because that was his guru and that's how he got enlightened. How important they are, because each of their stories shows the glories of the Bhagavatam and the efficacy of self-purification that comes from hearing the absolute truth from a person who's realized, and to hear it from the Bhagavatam. And the Bhakti Sandarbha, this section I was reading on hearing, you know, and it says, you know, the best hearing is to hear about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. Better than that is when there's when those pastimes have been written by a devotee, and better than that is when they're recited by a devotee, and better than that is when it's the Bhagavatam, the ultimate presentation of Krishna by the Vyasadeva. And better than that is when that's spoken by an elevated devotee. And better than that is when you hear the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which you particularly, you hear about the Supreme Lord in the form and manifestation of which you have an aspiring relationship for. That's actually important. It's important to actually come to that point. It's important to eventually come to the point where we have some understanding and attraction to Krishna in a particular relationship. It's not artificial, but it's important because you can understand bhakti and love is most intensely manifest in a particular relationship. So when you chant the holy name of Krishna, and gradually you're developing, gradually at an advanced stage, there's some sense of your relationship. So when you're chanting a name of someone whom you love, which means in a relationship, it's even more powerful to invoke devotional and loving sentiments in the heart, which is our spiritual process. So, anyway. So we have these stories, and we finish the story of Vyasadeva after the instructions by Narada, where he outlines his story of how the Bhagavatam completely purify him from the lowest social position. And it culminates in an inspiration for Vyasadeva. I was reading somewhere today that this Prabhupada said Vyasadeva revived the Bhagavatam. I was reading in Bhurijan Prabhu's overview of the Bhagavatam. I think it's called Understanding His Lotus Feet. Bhurijan mentions that when he initially wrote the Puranas, he also wrote the Bhagavatam. Or he wrote it, but he had to revise it. The second time, he revised it because it was just kind of a cursory presentation of it. Anyway, so he heard this whole story and he said, yes, that I have to, you know, write something more deep. And he went into that meditation. And that's how the story of Vyasadeva, that's the first part. Now, just remember, because it's many, many levels, it's a story within a story within a story within a story. Just remember that this is all taking place at Namasharanya. And it's Shonaka Rishi that's, you know, asking him to tell the Bhagavatam. Well, Sutta said, to the questions of Namasharanya, where, when Krishna left the planet, where will knowledge and religion be maintained? And then Sutta, that's the last question of the sages of Namasharanya, their last question, where will knowledge and religion, they asked six questions, be maintained? And the answer was, it would be in the Bhagavatam. It would be in the Bhagavatam. And Shonaka Rishi said, oh, the Bhagavatam, yes. And he began to ask questions about it. Evidently, he had heard something but didn't know the details. So he asked about its history. And so the first question was, how did Vyas get the inspiration to write the Bhagavatam? So that question is asked. And then the second question that was asked was about Sukadeva Goswami. But before that, so how do you get the inspiration? It came from Narada Muni. We see that wonderful exchange between Guru, how the Guru is the external manifestation of the super soul, because in distress when he went deep, the same voice that he heard, Adibo, like, I got to tell you, I'm sitting outside, and I'm a little distracted now, but I'll give you a visual why I'm distracted here. Because I'm sitting outside, and some of the participants in the conference just came back from a long walk. Arrivo! Okay. It's a little tough for me today. Okay. So Vyas, and then there's these wonderful three verses. Forgive me if it's maybe too much revision today. I'm not that far ahead. I'll get a little far ahead. So Vyasadeva is wonderful. He goes into meditation by Bhakti Yoga, and he has this vision of reality. Because the Bhagavatam is what, you know, is to instruct us what we should do to become satisfied. What we should do to understand ourself, because satisfaction is the congruence between your thoughts, activities, and who you are. It's that harmony. So how to come to that harmony? See, to understand, you have to understand what is reality. If you're to be peaceful, you have to act in harmony with reality, with the absolute truth. So if you don't know what the absolute truth is, then how can you act in harmony with it? This is why we need sambandha jnan. We need knowledge to understand reality. So there's a vision of reality. It's very beautiful. Apashyat purusham punam. He sees God, and he sees God's energies. And he understands the relationship between them. He sees it all, and he understands the proper relationship between everything. And therefore, he could act in one's proper relationship. Unless you know the relationship between everything and reality, then how can you act in relationship with reality? You're sure to make a mistake if you don't have the proper understanding. And therefore, how are we acting in relationship to reality? Because Srila Prabhupada came and he taught us what reality is. That's why he taught us you're not the body. Because if you don't understand you're not the body, then how are you going to understand then you're going to act as the body. And what's the body? The body is the body is not the self. The body is material elements that transform to give you some conception to help facilitate your illusion that you're the enjoyer and controller. And if you think that, then how are you going to act in proper relationship with the real enjoyer and controller, Krishna? The Prabhupada taught us. He taught us all these things. He taught us that we're not God. He taught us our relationship with God. He taught about impersonalism. And he taught. So, and what did he teach us? You know, this is what reality is. Don't be an illusion. Why? So that you will know what your relationship with reality is. And that's Vyasadeva. So he gave the vision. And within that vision, he saw the cause of the problem. What is it? This pure spirit soul, which has a relationship with God, is thinking in self-matter, thinking of self the controller and enjoyer. That he saw the cause, the problem. And then after seeing the problem, then he saw, how can it can be mitigated? How can it be mitigated? By the linking process of devotional service. This is the key point of how we realize reality. It's bhakti. Why? Because that identification with matter, the identification with the body is caused by what? It's an aversion to God and an aversion to our position as his servant. And because we don't want to be God, we don't want God, and we don't want to be a servant, then God allows us to fulfill our desire by reflecting our consciousness on the body, which moves in certain ways that gives us the illusion that I'm the enjoyer and I'm the controller. So the cause is that aversion. So the process is to develop devotion, to get out of that illusion. And how do you develop devotion? You have to turn towards reality and awaken your attraction for reality. So therefore, to compose the Vedic literature. And that's the purpose of the Vedic literature. The purpose of the Vedic literature is to turn us towards God. And that's why we have to read and hear, and that's what this class is about, to turn towards God. And when you turn towards God, your natural relationship with him will awaken. Why? Because God is attractive. And therefore, your devotion or bhakti, which is the nature of the soul, would be, he saw this. Finished. Answered the first question. Then Sutta began to answer the second question. The second question was, how did Sukadeva Goswami, who was already a self-realized soul, become attracted to the Bhagavatam? So he explained that Vyasadeva, he taught it to his son. And his son was Nibriti Nirita. He was self-realized. He had no attraction to this world, which indicates what an exalted scripture the Bhagavatam is. Because it's not just relevant to conditioned souls, it's relevant to those who are liberated. And then Shonaka naturally asked the question, if he's completely detached, then how did he become attracted to the Bhagavatam? How did he become attracted if he already had no trouble? Why did he take the trouble to study this? He studied the literature. If you're going to study something, you have to have faith that it will give you some type of benefit. Now, if he's already was liberated, then he was happy with himself. He didn't need to engage in this world. Then why did he undergo the trouble to study this literature? And that's when we completed the last class. I think that was the Atmarama verse, Atmaramas Chamunayo Nibbanant Upyukkame. But even the Atmaramas, those who have nothing to do with this world, they become attracted to devotion and service to God. They become attracted to God. And what does that mean? It means that the Lord has the qualities of God are transcendental, and they can attract everyone. That type of attraction has nothing to do with the mundane. And therefore, and there's a whole history of this, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explain the Atmarama verse, Lord Chaitanya, I believe, gave 18 meanings. And interpreting each and every word of the verse to show that Krishna has unlimited qualities that can attract the minds of anyone, even the people who are self-realized. And then later to Sanatan Goswami, he expanded into 64 ways. You can interpret all the words. Okay. And then this last verse in this section, before we get to Maharaj Cricket, Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Yadu, he's not only powerful, he was very dear to the devotees, and he underwent the study of this great narration. So so this is Vyasadeva, and then there's the history of Sukadeva Goswami. Vyasadeva was married. There's different stories for different yugas, because there's different Vyasadevas. And Sukadeva, well, Vyasadeva is a post. Vyasa means editor, and Dave means the godly editor. So it's a post. It's a post, and he appears in every Kali Yuga. There's a Vyasadeva. There's different stories, and therefore there's also a Sukadeva. It's almost also a spiritual post or something, or maybe the same person. But there's different stories. But in one, at least, Sukadeva, Vyasadeva is praying to have a very special son. And he attracts into the womb of Jubali, his wife, a self-realized soul, and doesn't want to come out. To the extent, after 12 years, that Vyasadeva goes to see Krishna, and Krishna somehow requests him, he comes out, and leaves to the forest, and he has nothing to do with this world. He doesn't want to become entangled in family life, and he's attracted back by different verses that are chanted to show how attractive the Bhagavatam is. And I actually gave those verses before. Very, very attractive verses. Somehow these verses are very special. One describes the form of Krishna, and one describes the qualities of Krishna. And some people say there's two, some say there's four. But one particularly attractive verse, and I think it's significant, it's from the third canto. And that particular verse was spoken to Vidura by Uddhava, because when Vidura was traveling around and he met Uddhava, and he was asking about Krishna, and Uddhava began to give a summary of Krishna's pastimes, and he gave a very, very famous verse, Ahobakiyam Stana Kula Kutam Jigam Sayapayad Akyasadvi, that how wonderful is Ahobakiyam, the glories of Krishna, that even though Putana came to kill him with deadly poison on her breast, because she approached him as a nurse, Putana received the same destination as Krishna's mother. And it indicates how glorious is Krishna. He has mercy, how much he extends his mercy. And mercy means what? Mercy means kindness. And real kindness is given when you don't deserve it. So actual kindness means mercy. Kindness means without motive. There is nothing you want from it. There's nothing you deserve from it. And people, and anugraha. Anugraha means mercy. Anugraha means affection. Anugraha means kindness. And that's such an attractive quality. What to speak to the liberated souls when they hear about mercy or compassion? What to speak about the conditioned souls whose only hope is mercy? That's why sometimes in our spiritual practices, We are trying to develop some type of sambandha or relationship with God so that we can chant his name with more devotion. Why sometimes, you know, it's so important to hear the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's Namo Mahabhadhanyaya Krishna Prem. He's the most munificent avatar. Or what is that verse? Paramakaruna, Pahudri. There's two people that are the most merciful. Or Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Paya Koramaya. He's full of patita pavana hetu. He's come to deliver those who have no qualification or the most fallen. So this quality of kindness or mercy, which indicates the quality of someone's heart, that's the real beauty is at the heart. And even when they talk about the beauty of Krishna, they're not just talking about a superficial form. Of course, Krishna's form is transcendental. I don't mean to say it's superficial. But Krishna's form is the manifestation of Krishna's heart. The glory of Krishna is that he's Akila Rasa Mritha Murti. He's the embodiment of full rasa or exchanges in relationship. That's his attractiveness. And that attractiveness is more attractive than his power or position. And we see that with the gopis. When Krishna was hiding from the gopis came by, he manifested his forearm, the lion form. And they said, "Did you see Krishna? Did you see Krishna?" They weren't even attracted to the forearm form. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? It's so powerful, majestic. Where is Krishna? They didn't stop and all become so infatuated. They just passed by. Of course, when they saw Radharani, he couldn't even... Krishna himself, his attraction for Radharani, he couldn't even maintain that form. Two-hand form had to manifest again. But so we can see Krishna's beauty, his position, is his heart. How he relates with others. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. So when Sukadeva Goswami, you know, as a liberated soul, when he heard about the kindness and heart of Krishna, and then right up after that, to hear about the form of Krishna. How beautiful is the form of Krishna? When you hear about the form of Krishna, it makes an imprint in the heart. This is how we advance. We hear about Krishna's form. It makes an imprint in the heart. Anytime that you contact something which gives you pleasure, whether it's something that's good for you or bad for you, it makes an imprint in the heart. And that imprint always wants to be filled with the same thing that caused that imprint. And how fortunate was Maharaj Prithit? We're going to read about this, that to protect him, and he was in the womb of his mother, Uttara, when the Brahmastra weapon came, and Uttara petitioned Krishna. Krishna came within the womb to protect him. And from a young child, he saw the form of Krishna, which is so attractive, and it made an impression in his heart. And that impression was so strong that for the rest of his life, he was searching to fill that longing in his heart, to fill that imprint in his heart with the same object that actually created it. And this is also our own spiritual life.
So you're not getting
Prabhu. You're interested. Hi, Krishna. Someone doesn't know this about muting the phone, and we then hear you talking in the background. So you please have to do that, because I have to really concentrate, especially today. So this is our spiritual life. Our spiritual life is we have to make these impressions, especially for the holy name. We have to be in kirtans that give us pleasure. So the imprint is in the heart that we're searching for that. And we see sometimes very fortunate people that have so much attraction because from their previous life, they made these imprints, these samskaras in their hearts. And we have to make those imprints in our hearts so that we're always searching out Krishna. We have to go and we have to hear.
and about Krishna, and so many verses about Krishna's form. Now at least I'll get a little forward today. Text 12. Parikshito ta rajar share janma karma valapanam samstam chapandu putranam bhakshye krishna katodayam. Sita Goswami thus addressed the rishis headed by Shaunaka. He finished. He said, okay, I'm finished now with Vyasadeva. Now you're next. I'm finished with Sukadeva. Now your last question about Maharaj Prickett. And he asked these questions about Maharaj Prickett. So amazing. He said there was nothing lacking in his life. He was the king of the world. Nothing was lacking in his administration. You know, when you're a manager, you can. If you're lacking finances, you're lacking money, you're lacking men, you're lacking relationships with people, you're lacking authority, you're lacking support, you're lacking loyalty, it's such a headache. Maharaj Prickett, there was nothing lacking in his administration. And what service he was doing to the world by managing the whole society in a way that people could be peaceful for Krishna consciousness. Why did he give it up? That was the question asked at Naimisharanya, one of the questions. Another question that was asked, he's so interesting. He was perfect in his birth because Krishna appeared to him in the womb. He was perfect in his life, and he was perfect in his death. Of course, the most important thing is to be perfect in your death. But you look at personalities like Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the umbilical cord wrapped around him like a Brahmin's thread, born to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada born to Gaur Mohan Day, a pure Vaishnav in the Suvana Mullet, I think in one of the families from Lord Chaitanya's associates, I believe it's Udharan Thakur, and Srila Gaur Govinda Swami being born, and so, you know, and then all of them too, Srila Prabhupada, and then perfect in his passing. I was there in the room. Prabhupada sitting on the bed in Vrindavan. I believe it was maybe Bhattaraj or someone playing the harmonium, sitting on the bed chanting Hare Krishna, all the devotees chanting Hare Krishna in Vrindavan, leaves perfectly. Srila Gaur Govinda Swami speaking about the highest realizations of Gaur Lila and Krishna Lila, leaving this world in Mayapur. So Maharaj Prickett, Krishna appears to him in the form of Sukadeva Goswami, in the form of the devotees, in the form of Krishna Katha. He said, now I have Krishna's mercy, Maharaj Prickett said. Now Krishna has appeared. Why? The devotees are here, and there's no difference. So he was perfect. So Shaunaka, I want to hear about this. So Sita now is responding to that question after another. He said, now I shall begin the transcendental narration of Lord Sri Krishna and topics of the birth, activities, and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage among the kings, as well as topics of the renunciation of the worldly order by the sons of Pandu. So Janma, Karma, Vilapam, his birth, his activities, his death, all perfect. I want to hear about such a person. He was Narayana Parayana, Vasudeva Parayana. He loved. And Sukadeva Goswami was Mahabhagavata. So you have Vasudeva Parayana and Mahabhagavata. You want to hear about that. You want to hear about the exchange between the great devotees, because it's just a flow of nectar. It's a flow of nectar. Just like Prabhupada said, take a nectar of devotion. Some people see that Krishna is talking to Arjuna, but no. The devotees see like that there is a moonlight river of nectar flowing from the lotus mouth of Krishna to his devotees. So tell us about this. So now Krishna is going to be introduced. We heard verses about Krishna. We didn't see Krishna personally. We heard people talking about Krishna. Anyway, so this is this activity. And Prabhupada makes a point here that Purana means history. But with Krishna, it's something very, very special. Actually, with Krishna, it becomes real. It's not a temporary thing. History is a temporary thing. With Krishna, it becomes an eternal thing. Because it becomes lila. It's not ordinary history. It's the eternal reality manifesting. It's not just a transformation. Ordinary history is just a transformation of matter. And particular souls attached to particular matter. But it's a temporary thing. The soul in that particular manifestation is temporary. And therefore it's not real. And therefore, it's not so important. In fact, one old Indian gentleman once told me that history, he said, is, he said that the names are true. The names are true. They give the real names, but the real facts are false. We know that. In history, you get the names of it. He said sometimes in fiction, the names are made up, but the facts are right. But that's another point. History is just modes of nature, matter moving, souls coming into particular configuration of matter, and they'll never come into that configuration of matter again. It's all a temporary thing. But when it's with Krishna, it's real and it's eternal. And this Bhagavatam specifically, the Prabhupada said, he talked about, you know, that Krishna was mentioned in other Puranas, but just as supplementary, like almost like historical facts. But the Bhagavatam is special significance because the activities of Krishna are central. It's not just describing what else was happening and Krishna was there, but it's about Krishna. It's central. And Prabhupada, therefore, says that you should take all parts of the Bhagavatam seriously, not just the 10th canto, yeah, but other cantos. They're also concerned with Krishna, and you have to understand them first, and therefore Prabhupada's saying, and Sukadeva Sutta is saying, I'm beginning the transcendental narration of Krishna, in relationship to Maharaj Prickett, and take these importance. Krishna is with all devotees of all rasas, and pure devotees like the Pandavas, they're not without Krishna. Therefore, talks about them in Krishna Katha. And then an amazing thing happens. Then it's going to now tell the story of Maharaj Prickett. But what's the story of Maharaj Prickett? It begins with the battlefield of Kurukshetra, where Ashwatthama releases, well, he's done it twice. The first time towards Arjuna, he releases the Brahmastra, and then to the womb of Uttara, he releases the Brahmastra. And that's, they were talking about the birth of Arjuna, the birth of Maharaj Prickett is what? The birth of Maharaj Prickett begins what? His father is killed, Abhimanyu. And therefore Arjuna therefore takes revenge. Arjuna therefore takes revenge because that's the son of Krishna's sister, Subhadra. So he takes revenge. And then in retaliation, Ashwatthama tries to kill the last remaining issue in, you know, from the Pandavas, which is in the womb of Uttara, which is Maharaj Prickett. So that's where it begins. So now it's going to be a mini Mahabharata, because you can tell the story of Maharaj Prickett. You have to tell something about the history of India and the Battle of Kurukshetra and the end of that. And because we're going to see first about his birth. And his birth is within this context. But the interesting thing, and I I never read it, but it's clear to me the significance of it. And I mentioned this before, and I'm going to have to end the class, that the first two times we see Krishna in our main scriptures, which is the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, in both places, the first time you see Krishna is in a subordinate position to his devotees. He's the driver of Arjuna. And the driver is the subordinate position. Subordinate position, service to his devotees. And although the position is subordinate, it's actually indicating the superior position of God as a person. Because the superiority of a person is his reciprocation in relationships. And reciprocation in relationship means to serve the desires of another. So the exalted nature of God is that he reciprocates in relationships, and therefore he takes a subordinate position in love to those that he loves. And therefore Arjuna's friend, he's serving him. So it's almost like ironic. We're going to see the first time we're going to see God. What is he doing? He's the driver of Arjuna. Very subordinate, socially low-rank position. But in terms of the personality, the most exalted position, is lover. What is an exalted person? An exalted person is one who sees the world according to the desires of another and tries to serve them. And what is a low person? A low person is one who sees the world according to his own fears and desires. So Krishna, although he actually has that position, he's seeing what the needs of his devotees are, he's trying to fulfill them, and he's even taking that position. So now we're going to read out Marge Prickett. Are there any, for today I don't have time to answer questions because the next seminar is starting soon, but I would like to hear from some devotees if anybody would like to say Hare Krishna today.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Amiya Nimaya.
Thank you, Amiya, for listening.
Wonderful, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's very nice to hear where you are. That sounds like a great seminar.
It's a very wonderful seminar. I think we'll put it on tape. We may
that
even get it out.
Great. That would be great. That would be great.
Okay, well, thank you,
Amiya. Haribo.
Anybody else just like to say Hare Krishna today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Govardhan.
It's Govardhan?
Yes.
In Poughkeepsie?
Yes, in Poughkeepsie.
Nice to hear from you. Very nice to hear from you. Thank you for coming on today. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bol Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Bhakti and Stella.
Stella, Hare Krishna. So Carl is in India now, huh?
Yes, he is, and really blissful.
He is. You heard from him.
Yes.
He was a little bit worried that he would, who's he with there?
He's right now he's at in Govardhan.
Okay.
Bhakti Maharaj.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, and he's happy there. Good.
Very, very happy.
Who else is he meeting? Do you know?
I think he met with Karma Rupa at Care for Cows.
Oh, nice, nice. How nice.
Some time with the cows.
Oh, great, great. He was a little bit apprehensive, but I knew it would be like a fish in water. He would good there. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Maharaj.
Great. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Maharaj is Gunagra Goswami, Gauri's Prabhupada.
Maharaj, Hare Bol. It's, I'm not that prepared today, as you know, it's just too hectic.
You're
and it's also a new section. I'm a good bluffer, but it's okay.
I got a lot out of it. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, maybe I'll have to make this up some other time during the week. So save your questions, okay?
I just wanted to say that I really appreciate, you were concerned about
reviewing or recapping too much, but for me it was very good.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's nice, too, because even for myself, from one week to another, you sometimes forget, you know, or you see deeper things. Okay, good. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Nanda Dulal Das. Please accept my humble obeisances for
the question. Hare Bo, Nanda Dulal. Thank you. Very nice.
Maharaj, is it possible to put it in MP3 in the internet, your seminar?
I'll have to see if I don't know. Yeah, well, I'll have to see. I'll have to see if it can be.
Because that way we can download it in quickly.
I have to say, people spoke quite freely. I don't know if they would want it published. Honestly, but okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Henry, nice to hear from you. I'm going to come actually up to Washington for a day or two, and maybe I'm going to give a seminar someplace in Washington. I'll mail you the information just in case you're free, okay?
Oh, I definitely want to be there. Thank you, Maharaj.
I will do that. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Anastasia.
Anastasia, very nice.
Thank you for a very interesting class.
Thank you.
I would like to join the group of people interested in the seminar.
Okay, well, let me see which are the ones that we could go, because I have to say, when we told the people we're taping it, we just said just for. I'll have to see what it is, because it's quite dynamic, though. Okay, if we can do it, and we'll have to do it. Thank you. Anybody else like
Thank
to say
you.
Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that? Oh.
Prema.
Hello?
It's Prema.
Prema, I just got your letter. I'm going to respond to it. Thank you, Prema.
Good.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who is it? Hello?
This is Kuladeep.
Jaini Kai, Maharaj.
It's Kuladeep Jaini Kai. Okay.
Haribo.
Okay, Haribo. Jai. Kuladeep, I got your thing. I sent that back. And Jaini Kai, I had a nice talk with Narottam. I don't know if he got back to you, but we'll see. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. I'm late to the seminar for a few minutes, but generally I'm the only one who's ever on time for things. So we'll go. Vanchikalpa Kurubya Stock with this guy.